Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Hallelujah. We're going to talk tonight about pruning. People, as people groan and leave the room, and that young man left that with me tonight. Hallelujah. The scripture on pruning is John 15, 1 through 3, but I'm going to read through verse 11, but first, no, I'm not. I'm just going to leave this like it is. Yes, John 15, 1 through 11. I am the true vine. We probably ought to pray, shouldn't we? Yeah, we should pray. Oh, Lord, help. Father, thank you for your faithfulness. We come tonight to honor you and thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for the breakthroughs that we've had. Thank you for breakthroughs for jobs and better jobs. Thank you for breakthroughs for Akamukta passing her defense. We give you praise. Lord, I just thank you for your goodness and your presence and the fact that you have not given up on us, not even thought about it. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, cool.
They took the trach out, and she's just breathing on her own, doing so well, and getting better every day. And I don't know if you remember when Billy and I and his daughter-in-law went to pray for her. She was had been in there 32 days in intensive care, and that woman was dying. She was in bad shape. And from that time, the Lord touched her. You could feel his presence, and she's day by day has gotten better.
Thank you, Lord. Here comes the working man. Working man, working to please his woman. Hallelujah. Do we have any report on Nicole Steele?
Nikki went to see her this afternoon, and they're not going to biopsy her at all. They've done a five-day mono test, so they're not even sure if they're going to keep her in the hospital for the 5 days. Until the test gets back. I'm going to go see her tomorrow, and then we'll have more reports, but it's good.
We prayed with her. Pat was there, and Talisha, and Josiah, and Rodney and Tiffany, and Jason, and Nicole's mom, and we prayed. There was a sense of the peace of the Lord in that room, wasn't there, Pat? That was really sweet. Hallelujah. And Tiffany went home today. Tammy emailed earlier. So we believe in God. Those of you who don't know about Nicole Steele, she has lumps in her lymph in her neck, and they admitted her to the hospital initially thinking they needed to rule out lymphoma. And then they started thinking mono. And so we're trusting God it'll be none-o. None of the above-o. Out of the hospital and getting stronger every day is what we're asking God for. Hallelujah. I am the true vine, John 15, verses 1 through 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he just takes it away. So. But every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Now this time, this little season, we've been talking, and here we've been talking about God speaking and us hearing and us seeing. And so he said, you are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch can of itself not bear any fruit unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out like a branch and is withered, and they gather them up and throw them in the fire and they burn them. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Now, there'll be a heading in your Bible that separates those verses, but there's no heading in the Word of God. So, just if there's a heading in there, ignore that heading. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about cutting, pruning, hurting, and misery, and joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. When we usually think clean, when he says here, you are, verse 3, you are already clean by the word, because of the word that I have spoken to you. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. We usually think the word clean means cleansed from sin. That is not what this is talking about. This is a whole thing talking about fruit bearing. Sometimes clean does mean cleanse from sin, but not in this passage of Scripture. In this text, the word for prune and the word for clean come from the same root. You are clean means you are already pruned. You are clean means you are already pruned. Washing, it removes impurities. Pruning cuts back what has already produced fruit. Pruning does not cut back impurities. Pruning cuts away healthy stuff that works. Think about this now. Pruning cuts away healthy stuff that works. It's cutting away pieces of vine that's produced fruit. So you already know it works because it's already produced fruit. So pruning is going to cut away healthy stuff that works. It's not cutting away impurities. This cleaning is not about sin washing. It is about pruning and cutting away something that's good. It's an act that prepares a branch to produce more fruit. It's not dealing with past sin. It's dealing with future potential. Pruning is not dealing with past sin. It is dealing with future potential. And I want to say it again. Pruning is cutting away good material that works. A good producing stem is getting cut away. Branch. If the branch is not pruned, it will become unfruitful. I just looked at some pictures on the internet of pruned vineyards. They looked awful. They looked pitiful. They were just stalks and sticks. I'm like, whoa, think of this. Something wonderful happened here. And then the vine dresser got a hold of it. God has dealt with sin on the cross. Often when things happen or something comes that seems to be cutting away or taking away something good that worked, we start looking for sin. We start getting condemned. We start getting melancholy and going inward on ourselves. What have I done? What's wrong? Blah, blah, blah. God dealt with sin on the cross. Jesus died for our sins according to the gospel. And the Father is not working on our sins particularly. That's not his primary focus. He's already cleansed us from sin. If you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, and the Holy Spirit will convict you, and you can take care of that. God does not have to beat you half to death to get you to confess. The Holy Spirit will make you miserable. This is the truth. The Holy Spirit will convict you. And sometimes when things start happening and it feels like, good Lord, you're cutting away every good thing that ever worked. We thought, oh God, what sin have I got in there? I must be proud about the fact that some fruit got born. Blah, blah, blah. It is the vine dresser doing his thing. And he reserves the right to cut away good things that work so it can be more fruit. So the future potential can be revealed and uncovered. Because the future potential is not in the old vine. The future potential is in the stump. Oh my goodness. I'm loving this and I'm hating it. But I know I'm telling the truth. He no longer deals with us with a focus on dealing with our sins. If we're a cleansed people, if we're people that are walking with Him, He's washed us from our sins. I'm not saying you don't repent, you don't confess. You do repent, you do confess, you do get convicted. But the primary focus of God's work in your life is not trying to unsin you. He unsinned you on the cross. Jesus already did that work. Get that sin conscious thing where it belongs, out. And listen for the word of the Lord, because the word of the Lord will prune the good things in there that are in the way. And if you do something wrong, God will convict you. Last week, God convicted me for saying somebody was butt ugly. He just said, now, Jane, you could have done, you didn't have to say butt ugly. That's probably, you could probably done without that sentence. I said, Lord, I love that. I love that butt ugly thing. And he's like, no, you probably didn't have to say that. So I felt a little convicted. I think I said to Judy, I think I could have not said that, Judy. She said, well, probably not, Jane. So you don't, God is, the Holy Spirit's working all the time in the realms of conviction. You don't have to be scared you're going to just sin and God miss it. Oh, I've got some deep sin God can't even see. Oh, come on. He's got eyes of fire. Oh, I'm going to go preachy on you. He has eyes of fire. He can see right through you. He's like, he makes Superman look like a blind person. He can just see right through you. He does not need your help finding sin. Because when you get focused on what sin have I done, why has this happened, why has every good thing that ever produced fruit been hacked off of me, then you start focusing on sin, 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 then the enemy comes in, condemnation. And he's accusing and he's accusing and he's accusing. And you think he's accusing you, but he's not. He's accusing God. The devil accuses God. Has God said? Can God actually deliver you? Will God actually bring you into the promises that He has given you? Will you ever live to see the answer to this prayer? Blah, blah, blah. That's all about saying God won't do it. That's His one note thing. He only sings like monotone, God won't do it, God won't do it, God won't do it, God won't do it. However, we're not tuned into that channel. Our God is an awesome God. And He has dealt with sin on the cross, and His Holy Spirit is convicting us moment by moment by moment. And the fact that He is a vine dresser, and the fact that He's got pruning shears or whatever. I've seen Mike Bracken prune a bush with a pocket knife. It's like, ooh, it's pretty cool to watch. It's pretty cool unless you're the branch. It's like, it's a lopper. He's coming after me with a lopper. His focus on us is developing in us the fullness for which He created us. That's not humanism nor New Age. God's focus in your life is to release His life out of you. You are His vessel, His ambassador. He clothed Himself with you. When He took you as His ambassador, as His witness, and filled you with the Holy Spirit. He clothed himself with you. So this work that he's doing in us, this fullness, only comes from an intimate relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Our Father wants to partner with us to produce more fruit for his kingdom. That's his whole purpose. When he's working with us, his goal is more fruit for the kingdom. And he is working in us and with us to produce more fruit for the kingdom. Thank you, Jesus. I'm loving this. Jesus died to deal with our past. He was raised to make a way to a future with his Father. He died to deal with our past. Your walking everyday relationship with God should not be misery about your past. I want to tell you tonight, cut the regret off. Cut regret off of you. Let God be the God who wiped out your past. Because he wants to produce fruit for his kingdom in your life, not constantly revisit sins or things about your past, disappointments, failures. Jesus died to deal with our past. Hallelujah. Jesus died to deal with our past, and he was raised to make a way to a future with his Father. From our position in the vine, we produce fruit for the Father here and now. So if we're in the vine is Jesus. John 15:1. I am the true vine. So from our position, if we're in the vine, we're in Christ. And Christ is in us. We clothed ourselves with him, and he clothed himself with us. There's a neatest thing about the structure of a vine. And I wrote this down in hoping and praying that Mike Bracken would not stand to his feet and say, "You're nuts, Jane. That's not how it is at all." This is what a vine looks like, but Mike is here, thank God. So, and Fran's occupied with two grandchildren, so she's going to be smiling and pretending she's listening. I know how that works. vines have all these different parts. They have buds and nodes. They have tendrils, these little things that go out and squirrel around things. But the main things, they have leaves. Vines have leaves. They have large leaves that provide nourishment and air for the plant. And that leaf is the main tool of nourishment by way of the sun. All energy comes from the sun. This is Jane curiosity. I'm so fascinated by that. All energy in any form on this earth originates from the sun. All energy comes from the sun. So the energy that you eat when you eat an asparagus came from the sun and got fixed down in that plant by photosynthesis. Oh, I'm just loving it. So anyway, then there are stems and shoots. The stem, now here's what I want you to hear. The stem or the vine of the grapevine is the main trunk. So there's not like, I always imagine this, like I'm the vine, you are the branches. So I always imagine that there's like this big, like a tree. Vines are not trees. The stem is the vine. And the stem is anchored in the ground by roots that are under the ground, but everything above the ground is the vine. There's not like, it's the trunk of the vine, but it's vine. It's not like the trunk, and then there are branches, and then there are leaves and little blah-blahs. It is the stem, or the vine of the grapevine, is the main trunk. So the vine is the vine. The shoots grow out from the vine. The main supporter, the backbone of the leaves, is this vine. The stem anchors down into the earth by the roots. And so this is how the whole thing is structured. So when we are in the vine, we're not, here's Jesus, big, strong Jesus, he's the trunk, and we're little branches stuck on him. And I got, like, pushed into Jesus, and I'm stuck out there, and I'm just drawing my life out of Jesus, but I'm not. No, that's not how it is at all. The vine is the vine. Everything above the ground is vine. And if you are in the vine, you are in Christ. There's not like you're stuck onto Christ or you're grafted into Christ. You are in Christ. And he's in you. And like the vine, oh my God, there's not like a trunk and you're stuck in it. There is just vine and you're in the vine. There is just vine and you're in the vine. And he said, I am the true vine. And so we are abiding in him and we are in him and we are in that vine. That fruit, life-producing vine. And Jesus said, I am in Christ tonight. I'm telling you, I'm the happiest thing ever happened to me was the day I accepted him, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and knew that I was in Christ and Christ was in me. I'm in this vine, but I am not in charge of the fruit bearing of this vine. I'm just in it. I'm in it, but I'm not in charge of the fruit. All of the striving that I can do will not give me fruit in this vine because I am not in charge. I am not in control. I am in the vine. I am in the vine, but I am not in control. Because Jesus said, I'm the true vine, and Jesus is not in control. He said, my Father is the vine dresser. I wonder if the Father ever whacks off somebody's fruit, and Jesus is going, Papa, I like that. Well, we got to get rid of that because more's coming. He said, the Father is the vine dresser. The pruner is the Father God. And we are living in Christ, and the Father God is pruning off good things that work. I want to translate, not branches that bear fruit. I want to change that. Erase that, because that's just too vague and religious. I want to translate that into good things that work. That's what a branch that bears fruit is. It's a good thing. It works. It produced the goods. So, but what Jesus says here, in verses 1 through 3, he describes the whole process. Every branch stuck on to me. No, every branch in me, because we're in Christ. And in this living intimacy, there is a life flow. And there is a Father in heaven that is regulating life flow and productivity. And you are not in control. And I am not in control. Only thing he says for me to do is abide in me and my word. Abide in you. Oh, hallelujah, that's frustrating. God wants us to produce fruit now. This is not about heaven. This story about I am the true vine, my Father's the vine dresser, is not about heaven. Nothing about it is about future heaven. It's about future fruit right here on earth. It's about now. It's about our relationship with God. The instrument of pruning, according to verse 3, the instrument of pruning is not hard knocks. The instrument of pruning is not hurt. The instrument of pruning is the word. This is what he said. You are already pruned because of the word that I have spoken to you. So it's there is a function. This is why it's so important to hear. Because it's the hearing the preceding word that prunes. And now the pruning specialist has entered the room after I finished describing it all. Thank you, God. The instrument of pruning is the living spoken word. Whether there's a cutting away of a dead branch or the pruning of a fruitful branch, it all depends on how the branch hears the word that is spoken. So when I said we've got to hear and see what we're hearing, it's vital because our productivity totally depends on hearing. Because hearing and the word proceeding is the pruning instrument. It is the pocket knife of Mike Bracken. It is the lopper. It is that other little thingy. The snipper. I call it. That's not what it's called. The little snipper. The tiny one. Whether there's a cutting away of the dead branch or the fruitful branch, it all depends on how this branch hears the word that is spoken. If you refuse to hear the word that is proceeding and shut your ears off from God, you will die, because you'll be shut off from the life-giving flow of that vine. And you'll be dead, and you'll be gone. You'll just be cut off and burned. I mean, that won't be, or that part of life of you. I've had things cut off and burned. I ask the Lord, burn, burn, burn. If there's something I've done, something you don't like, something I'm going to be embarrassed about at the judgment seat of Christ, would you just like burn it now? Could you like set that thing on fire right now so I don't have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and all my friends hear you say, you did all that in the flesh, Janie, and set it on fire? Anyway, that's my view of judgment seat of Christ. It's a fiery place. If I'm impressed with the fruit, I want you to listen to me carefully. If I am impressed with the fruit that I produced yesterday, I might be in danger of refusing to hear a pruning word. If I am impressed with the fruit that I produced yesterday, I might be in danger of refusing to hear the pruning word. By refusing the new word, I fail to bear more fruit. That's why after Jesus gave the parable of the sower, he warned the disciples, take care how you hear. Jesus said, if you abide in me, the vine, the spoken word is what produces fruit. If you abide in me, the vine, and my words, the word in Greek, words there, is not logos, it is rhema, ramata. Abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. This is clearly not about heaven someday. Rhema refers to a spoken word. To abide in a spoken word means to live your life in positive response to that word. If you feel that God has spoken something to you, you have to live your life in positive response to that word and stand in it. And that's how the fruit begins to come off of that word. To abide in a spoken word means you live your life in a positive response to that word. Bearing fruit and proving yourself to be a disciple are related to the way you hear and respond to the word that God is speaking to you today. Bearing fruit and proving yourself to be a disciple are related to the way that you hear and respond to the word that God is speaking to you today. So I'm going to give a little example. I think I tell this to somebody. I don't know, probably the people at the prayer thingy. Last week, I guess it was. Last week or the week before. Jimmy went to Nashville And so he had 2 days to go to Nashville and meet with the legislators, and he wanted me to go to meet with them. And someone else was paying for this, a group that he is like the president of this group, and so they were paying for him to go down and meet with the legislative people about the issues that concern children and families in this region. And so he asked me to go. He said, "Won't you go, Jane, and go with me and smooth around and meet some of these people?" And I'm like, "Whoa, yeah." Anyway, and so I normally would have done that. And I was thinking I would do it. There's a couple of things I would have done just because it was free. B, to be with Jimmy, or C, because I felt guilty like I ought to go because he asked me. That's just how I roll. And so I had all three of those factors working over here. I had like the still small voice over here. I had a sense over here of, you need to stay here for a mukta. I answered that small voice saying, I have done a lot for a mukta. No, I mean, I argue back with the voice. I'm like, well, I've done a lot for a mukta. I don't need to stay here for a mukta. A mukta's a big girl. Blah, blah. Yeah. And you need to stay here for a mukta. I felt that I heard that. So I said to Jimmy, I feel like the Lord is telling me to stay here for a mukta. He said, okay, well, what, you know, whatever you feel to do. The first night he was in Nashville, she called and said, Jane, she was so torn up. She said, they told me I can't graduate. I can't defend my thesis on Monday. I can't graduate. And I just said, Amukta, email the professor and tell him by morning you'll have it together and come home. And God enabled us to finish what needed to be done, to do the rewritings and all the things that needed to be done. That it was all ready by morning. They never put one pen to edit any piece of what was done that night. Now, and then she defended on Monday. She passed right there. When I walked out of there, the Spirit of the Lord was in that meeting where she defended. And when I walked out there, I said to Jimmy, there's a line in the Shawshank Redemption where the guard tells Andy Dufresne, this kid, he was teaching the GED. He was in solitary, and he passed him his food, and he said to him, the kid passed. And so we walked out there. I said, oh, Jimmy, the kid passed. So, but it was a thing of, I'm giving that as an example, that I heard a word. It was pruning to me of what I thought was a good thing, to go, to do that, to smooth with the legislative people. And I can get right down all over that kind of stuff. And so I was like, whoa, yeah, it's a big door opened here. And over here's this voice, stay here for a mukta. And so that, standing in that, responding to that, by when I'm saying responding to a word, that's a rhema word that came to me about stay for her. But I heard it. I heard it, and when she came home, I felt the atmosphere that it felt that day when she defended and I walked out of that room. I felt the atmosphere of triumph. And that was seeing and sensing by my senses what God wanted to have happen. And so hearing the rhema and standing in that, positively standing in that and walking it out and doing what needed to be done, because I had not done that kind of science writing for, oh Lord, since science writing since 2000 and, oh no. No, I didn't do science writing in my master's degree. Science writing, not since 97. So how that came and came back to me, and y'all know how I am. You know how I can't remember what I did day before yesterday. Boom, my brains were right there. And I'm like, whoa, living God. There was a life-giving flow. There was a source there. And that was like hearing a word, hearing a rhema, walking in it, standing in that rhema, which I'm giving you this as it's a real life example that just happened to me, that I can see the fruit of it. And the fruit of it is that she's moving on to the next steps of what God has for her life, because he has a call on her life. And so, hey, that's what I'm talking about. I don't mean this as some vague thing out there. I mean this as stuff, hearing things in the now that direct us. So it is this rhema that's pruning, and it is this rhema that is fruit producing. Rhema is from the root word in Greek, rheo, which means to flow like water in a river. Rhema is from the root word rheo in Greek, which means to flow like water in a river. In English, the word rheostat controls the flow of electricity in the circuit. Sorry. Don't you love it that it's warm? I just love it. I totally love it. A rheostat controls the flow of electricity in a circuit. So the word rhema is from a word that has to do with flow. To flow like a river, or in our English, it's used to describe an instrument that controls a flow of electricity in a circuit. In a vine, there is sap flowing through the branches. There's stuff coming up from the root that's called the principal root. There are three kinds of roots in a vine. There is a shallow root that grabs moisture, grows quick, and dies fast. There's a subterranean root that anchors that thing down. And then there's this principal root that's going down and getting all kinds of nutrients and minerals and moisture out of the ground for this plant. And so this life-giving flow is going on inside Christ. There's this life-giving flow of the Holy Spirit going on inside of Christ. And so we come to Jesus Christ and we say, Christ in me, Christ around me, Christ, I'm in Christ, Christ is in me. No, I never do have any sense about the flow of the Holy Spirit. Wake up. Wakey, wakey. It's time to wake up. Because there should be a sense of a life-giving flow. There should be some sense of sap moving in you if you're in Christ. That we'll be sensing a proceeding word out from the Holy Spirit. In a vine, there's this sap flowing through the branches. That flow produces fruit. Apart from this sap, the branch can do nothing. The word picture in this text implies that the spoken word flowing from God's mouth is what causes the branches to bear fruit. The spoken word flowing from his mouth. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that is proceeding out of the mouth of God. Luke 4, verse 4. Every word proceeding, that's rhema. That is this flowing like water word. Well, I'm afraid I'll make up something and I didn't hear from God. You know what I think God, if you made up something, here's what I think God would say if you made up something. If you're like, oh, I think God told me to eat chocolate for a whole week for a fast. Just fast from all foods and eat any form of chocolates for like a whole week. I believe I've heard that. And I'm just going to do that. And when you're like 50 pounds heavier and you come rolling in to talk to God, and you're like, well, what happened? This just didn't work out the way I thought it was going to, God. I think if we thought we heard something and it wasn't really God, that you just made it up in your head, do you know that that happens? Sometimes you just make stuff up. And so if you just make stuff up, to me, it's like a kid trying to talk. And that the Father in heaven wouldn't say, you're blaspheming me. You're saying I said, and I didn't say a thing like that. I think he's more like, whoa, she's trying to talk. She's trying to listen and repeat it. Oh, blah, 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 blah. like she's trying to say catalyst, and she's saying coward, coward, coward. Oh, you're an idiot. I'll never speak to you again. I mean, seriously, if you hear something wrong, it's not the end of the world. If you do something wrong, it's not the end of the world. God is bigger than the crazy things we might do trying to figure things out. That's how children grow. Well, hopefully we can control some of that, and we don't let them, like, run into the fire or, you know, blow up the house or whatever other things, whatever. He's got us covered, I do believe. If we start running into the street in the name of a rhema word, he's going to say, whoa, hold on there, honey. But we're just too serious about ourselves. We take ourselves way too seriously. There's a word proceeding out of his heart, a word of love, a word of hope for the nations, a word of promise, a word of goodness. And it's always coming. It's always coming out of his mouth. And we can hear those words. He loved Amukta so much that he spoke to me, who does not hear very well. I mean, that's why I'm teaching this class, not because I'm a big hearer, because I can't hear hardly anything. And I'm like, I'm going to teach this till I get it. So he spoke to me, Jane, I want you to stay here for her. I want you to give up your little 2 days of being some sort of a little shot and stay here for Amukta, would you please? It was a simple thing. It was a flow of life. It released a life-giving flow. It produced a realm of worship. It broke my heart to see that, to watch it work out and see the results of just listening to one word. It was not. It was like, what was like, John, when you all went to pray for Tracy? You heard to go. You walked in the positive of walking into that word and stood in that. You said the prayers, and you stood in the release of that hope and promise and love that was in that. And it's still producing fruit. The sap is still running into that area because you let the sap through. Maybe we could call ourselves Sap Gates. That'd be a cute name for a church, the Sap Gates. Hey, where do you go to church? Oh, I go out to Sap Gates. Oh, you're mental, honey. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, rhema, that's proceeding out of the mouth of God. The word presently proceeding from his mouth is the word by which we live. What he is saying is always in the flow. Listen carefully. What he is saying is always in the flow of what he is doing. What he is saying is always in the flow of what he is doing. So if he's saying, go pray for this sick person, he is doing to heal that person. What he's saying is always in the flow of what he is doing. If we want to flow with him, we have to get into the flow of this preceding word. The biggest thing, the biggest hindrance to being in the flow of the preceding word is just nothing but fear. I can't do this. I can't hear. Have you ever heard from God, like maybe God warning you, don't do that, and you did it anyway? Oh my, the horror stories. Like, oh, if I could just go backwards in time and obey that warning. But then think of the things that you've heard God say to you in a preceding word that would have released a positive flow of hope, of goodness, of love, of joy. Because the end of this whole passage in verse 11 is that you're going to be full of joy. If you walk in the flow of this preceding word, I'm telling you now, you're going to be full of joy. You will be full of joy because you'll be hearing and listening and the river of that living word flowing in you, hope for the nations, healing for the nations. You know, everything about that water, the scripture says in Ezekiel that everywhere the water that came out of his throne touched, that was healed. Everywhere the water touched, it was healed. And when it got to the salt sea, it healed the salt sea. My goodness. I've already talked to you about the vine, that the vine is the vine. If you look at a vine, you imagine drawing a vine, where is the vine? All you see are branches. Jesus didn't say, I am the stalk. Jesus did not say, I am the stalk, that's the root. He did not say, I am the root, and you are the branches. You are the vine. The branches are the vine, and the vine is the branches. All of it's vine. Anything coming up above the ground is vine. Stem, branches, it's all vine. And so the branches are the vine, and the vine is the branches. Jesus is not producing fruit for his Father in this world apart from the branches. He is in the individual branches, which are connected to him and to one another. Branches that are not connected are already cut off and sent to the fire. So if you are in Christ, I love that picture. The branches are in the vine, and the vine is the branches. It's not like two different things, vine, branches. It's all vine. It is all vine. Sunday before last, I think I told you guys this last Wednesday, but I'm totally intrigued by this. I was sitting at the keyboard. I had on a blue shirt. I had a white sweater on, and I got hot, and I pulled that sweater off. And so I was sitting at the keyboard in a blue shirt. Kathy Gauthier saw me dancing in front of the piano in a white shirt. She said, I clearly saw you, Jane, with my eyes. And I looked and thought, whoa, she has on a blue shirt. Then she saw me at the piano after she saw me. And she told me, and I said, oh gosh, she must have seen my angel. Because people say that your angel looks like you. I've never seen that, so I wouldn't know. God help the poor angel has to look like me. But anyway, I won't comment on whether that's pretty or ugly. I've already been corrected on that. So so there she saw. I said, oh, you must have seen my angel. And she said, well, that's what I thought. And I said, Lord, it's her angel. And the Lord spoke to her. And she said to me, and the Lord said to me, no, that's me. And then when she said it, it went into me like fire. And the Lord said to me, Jane, I clothe myself with you. But then what is it that we do if we're in Christ and he's in us? The branches are the vine, and the vine is the branches. And so if he's going to do work on the earth, he's not going to come in a vapor. He's going to come in you. He's going to be Pat Watts coming to see Tiffany, praying in that room with Nicole. It was Pat. It was Jesus in Pat. He clothes himself with us. We are in the vine. The vine is in us. We're all one. We're in Christ. We're one with him. We're not trying to get into Christ so something good can happen. Chill out. Relax. You cannot control this. The Father has got his pruning shears out. And he's going to cut away every good thing that did good things that he wants to cut away, because that's just how he does. He is the husbandman. He looks at it and he says, whoa, that worked really good for a long time there, Jane. And I'm back over here huddled down in the stump, peeking out at the empty air. I used to be out there looking good. And now I'm right here on the verge of just spilling my juice out on the floor. What can you say? Is God not good? We are not in control. So he is producing fruit through us by the preceding word, by the rhema. There's a difference between being attached and being connected. A dead branch is still attached. Think of this. There's a difference between being attached and connected. A dead branch is still attached. There might be people sitting in our church service on Sunday that are attached, but no life of God flowing in them or through them because they're really not attached. They're not connected, but they're attached, which is good. And then the Father will do his thing, and maybe the remains of them will be in that stump going, "Oh, God, there is hope for a stump." They'll say that verse. There, I've said that verse many times. I said it this week. There is a difference between being attached and being connected. A dead branch is still attached to the vine, but it does not receive the flow of the preceding word. It's dead wood to the vine. The branch that is connected receives the life flow of the preceding word and produces fruit by it. That's all about the way you hear and respond to what God is saying to us today. Take heed how you hear. That's my final word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I actually have another teaching on this, so this isn't the final word. It's the first closing of the final word. So I do have another thing I want to say about it. Father, thank you so much that you do speak to us. Thank you for the life-giving flow. Thank you for the rhema that is a river of living water. Lord, you said that out of our belly would flow rivers of living water. This spoke he of the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not been glorified. But we thank you tonight that you have been glorified and the Spirit has been given, and we've received the Holy Spirit, and that out of our belly there is the potential for the flow of the life-giving water. We open our ears to you, Papa. We open our hearts to you, Daddy. We say, speak and do what you want to do. And if you've got something you want to prune, we're not going to be screaming and trying to hide and try to keep you from pruning living God. We just say, we yield ourselves to you. And say, your living word and your rhema word, we open ourselves to it. We want to produce fruit on the earth. Thank you, Lord, for that day that Pam Lang, have y'all heard the coat story? Pam Lang's driving down the road. It's the coldest day we had all year long. She's driving down the road. She sees a worker in a shirt, no coat. He kind of gets highlighted to her. And she felt the Lord spoke to her, buy that man a coat. She went to town, bought him a coat, came back looking for him. Found him. Gave him the coat. Now, he said to her, well, I guess there are still good people in the world. I guess there are still good people in the world. Well, what did she give him when she gave him that coat? She gave him hope. And hope is a good thing. Oh my goodness. I love you people. We're done.
I was talking to some ladies the other day, and the very same thing happened. This lady passed a man standing on the corner and didn't have a coat, and she went by, and the Lord impressed upon her to get him a coat. And so she had a coat, so she turned around and went back, but she never could find it. So I think God tells us things, and we have to be careful that we miss it if we don't do what he says.
Hallelujah. Open your ears. Hallelujah. Hey, I just want to remind everybody about the work day on Saturday at 9. If you can be here, bring your little body, and we're going to work on this building, get this done. Thanks.